Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we are halfway home on a Tuesday. Is it Tuesday?
It is Tuesday.
Tuesday. Here on Ben and Woods this morning. And yeah, just when I think, like, you watch a game like last night's game, 9-3, and you go, no one's going to care. No one's going to be in the chat. You guys are insane. And I love it. And that's what, you know, ownership and the players need to realize is that people in this town are, they just want to love you, man. They really do. They want to love, they really want to love you with everything that they have. And, you know, being a 500 team and now a couple games below 500 just doesn't cut it. It just doesn't cut it. Hard to love somebody that's 1 foot in, 1 foot out, right? It really is hard to do. And it's right there in front of you. You know, win games. They're going to sell out the stadium. You're going to get all the love and adulation that you've ever wanted. And you're going to get the full package. What did they call it, Jerry Maguire? The Quan. He wanted the whole thing, the Quan. The money, the love, the respect. You get all of it. Just win. It's right there.
It's all there.
That's it. Easy. Easy to do,
not
right?
Not that easy.
Just win.
Not that easy.
Just win.
Apparently not that easy.
I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. We had a show outing yesterday, and we're doing the Ben and Woods Open tomorrow. And we have a very dedicated Padre fan, Tier 1, who runs a Lululemon store. Now, I'm a big proponent of everything that is sports, like leisure wear. Active wear, but I'm not very active.
Athleisure.
Huge fan. Gotten into it the last few years. My wife forced me, and then I'm hooked. You got me. And she said, I'd love you guys to come down. So they're going to be doing a giveaway at the Ben and Woods Open. So you guys have a chance to win like a fitting and some cool Lululemon stuff. And they've got a golf line. She said, want you guys to come down, check out the stuff, and try on some of our new things. Now, listen. We'll be honest with you. We're not the guys that they look at and say, yes, we want you to model our stuff.
Speak target for yourself. Demographic.
It's not the target demographic, maybe. But we got to have a little pretty woman moment after the show yesterday. And we went there. And I went first. You guys had some production to do. So I went down. And she started loading me up with stuff to go try on. And you go in, and you got that full-length mirror, and you start disrobing, and you're like, oh, God! The lights are all bright, and you're all pale, and hairy, and...
You're not supposed to look at that.
I know, you're really not.
What is this, slim
on.
Fit?
Oh, try these on. Are you a large?
It's a size 32 waist.
I'd probably go a little bit. We'll try the X, maybe the large and the XL, and I'll just try them both. And you immediately just discard the large and put the XL and go, these fit great. Yeah, let me go out and model them. She gave me a shirt.
Somebody says, I thought they only sold yoga pants.
No, bro, they have all kinds of good stuff. I mean,
Mike says Lulu is for women. No,
no,
oh, no.
Bro, it's mostly like it's half and half
yeah,
in there.
It's 50-50 in there.
And it, I'll tell you what, Mike. Go get you some, dude. They have really good stuff.
Right now.
They have really, really, really good stuff.
It's comfy.
So go in, and she gives me like this. Oh, Hannah wants me to start. She's like, you need a new look. She tells me this.
A new look.
I go, oh, God. She says, I'd really like to see you in more. She goes, not collared shirts like what you're wearing, button-down, short-sleeve, collared shirts. And I go, I don't really want to. She goes, no, I think you need to. And I said, Like the, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Short-sleeve, collared, button-down, like, you know, like Tommy Bahama's.
Pocket protector.
Right.
Right there in the pocket.
And I said, oh, I said, I don't think it's my scene, babe. I'm a t-shirt, you know, joggers guy every day. She said, I don't want you to try it. So this Melissa hands me one, and it's an XL. And she goes, now, our it does, everything does run a little, you know, snug. And I put this thing on. Yes.
Fitting a sausage in the casing.
The biscuit tin was back.
Do you
the
ever put on one of those button downs and then it like bulges between the buttons and you can kind of see in because it's so tight?
Yeah,
it's
you not, can a, see
it's
your
not
skin.
A good feeling. You can see the skin as you look down because the the buttons are bulging together.
So
it's a bad feeling.
Now,
that's when you call SDFatLoss.com.
Right, but the thing is, if you go for the big blousy one, you look ridiculous, too. You look like James Gandolfini in The Sopranos. Like
his, I'm guilty of that sometimes, for
the
sure.
The big blousy shirts, there's got to be a right fit. So I tried that one on. She said, I said, no, this is a little tight. You have a double X. No, we don't. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to pass on the button-down shirt. So I tried to get that. But then you guys came in, and you guys started modeling your clothes. Now, she asked me if I wanted shorts, and I said, no. I said, nobody ever needs to see a grown man's legs ever, and especially not mine. So I'm good. No shorts whatsoever. And
again, my best feature. So yeah. I do wear the shorts because I don't mind getting those calves out to the world.
Mike says he doesn't need Lululemon because he's not a North County yuppie. Buddy, don't knock it until you try it. You will buy them, you will put them on, and you will go, oh boy, those idiots were right. They were right again. They got me.
You know who got me turned on to Lululemon? Wasn't anybody in this room. It was Mark Grant.
Yeah, Mud Grant.
I don't think Mark Grant's a North County
Alpine,
yuppie.
Baby. Alpine.
This is Alpine as it gets.
I am not.
I'm telling you.
I could care less about fashion. Shocker, I know. But, you know, the haute couture, the highest fashion, often looks very uncomfortable. The reason these things are so great is not because you're, you know, walking down a runway in Paris.
Right.
It's because it's really, really comfortable and well-made.
Yes.
That's where you're willing to go the extra mile when it comes to good clothes.
Yeah.
Something that you're going to feel good in.
Oh,
and they
good.
Do it very well.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah, it was pretty
I saw
fun,
somebody
actually.
Somebody said earlier, Lulu's effing expensive, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, you get what you pay for.
And that's why we are very happy that they have jumped on board with the Ben & Woods Open. One of the raffle prizes is... You're going to get like a personal shopping experience.
You get the pretty woman experience.
If you win the raffle, they're going to have one of their educators, I think they're called, one-on-one, get you fitted in a top and a bottom.
Pretty woman.
Pretty woman style.
Or man.
Get you both.
Now, there was I had a moment yesterday, and she said, what do you think, Woodsy, about this that a lot of men are wearing now? And I went, could be convinced.
What was it?
And I wanted your takes on it. It's the Lululemon belt bag.
Oh, belt bag.
So I carry...
Well, I have a Padres belt bag that I don't use already.
Well, I gave mine to my wife.
Yeah.
So I carry around the Costanza wallet. And it's, you know, it is what it is. It's fine.
We were in Vegas and I couldn't fit my room key in my wallet because I had so much crap in there.
Yes.
And so we're sitting in our hotel room, and I started pulling out gift cards.
Dave and Buster's cards.
Yeah. I'm like, how long has this been in there? My wallet shrunk in half.
It feels good. It feels like you dropped 10 pounds.
It took 5 minutes.
Zach just says, I just got into belt bags, fanny packs. I love it. Now, listen, I'm married. I've got a beautiful wife, beautiful kids. What do I care if I look like a nerd walking around with a belt bag on? I'm thinking about rocking the belt bag.
I've been seeing a lot of men wearing them. I go, that seems like it's inevitable, right? No, it's on its way. It's coming.
The new look, though, is you wear them across.
Across?
Like right. A seat belt as opposed to
around
like
your
a
waist.
Belt around the waist. I've seen a lot of that. That's kind of the new in way to wear the belt bag.
Adam says can't do it. Well, that's because you have a 20-inch waist and it would fall around your knees. Okay? You're
sash.
Built like my 6-year-old. Of course, my 6-year-old also wear a belt bag either. But thank you for giving us that moment yesterday where we got to try. I will say this. I often give him compliments. Ben, you rocked the S out of it.
Thank you.
You rocked
the shorts. I was impressed by the golf line.
Shorts.
I didn't even realize they kind of had a new golf line, and that was cool. Thank you for the shorts compliments.
You look great.
It honestly warmed my heart yesterday seeing Ben having like 3 or 4 employees helping him out.
Yeah.
Bringing clothes to him.
Fawning all over him.
The full Pretty Woman experience. Because I don't think he would ever.
No.
Ever.
No, he was like
do that for himself.
But he was like Tom Selleck in there.
Man. Oh,
he was. He was feeling himself. It was good to see.
Big ass watch on.
And those big ass calves of his that everyone was talking about. It was great. It's proud of you. You look good.
Thank you. I'm a little self-conscious, but I appreciate it.
Don't be.
That.
You should. I am. Me and Paulie were self-conscious for good reason. We walked out of there with our shirts. It's like, this is cool. This is great. Maybe I'll wear it under a jacket and no one can see the muffin top, you know, coming out. But it was really fun. I liked hanging out with you guys. And we tried that new Mongolian barbecue place at Fashion Valley.
What did you think?
I thought it was pretty good.
Freddie is the manager. Big tier
big
one.
Tier
walked
one.
In. He was going, I know you guys from somewhere.
Yeah.
Goes, oh, yeah.
It was pretty good.
Listen to you guys in the morning. You guys are hilarious.
I probably had the wrong mix, but I needed a little bit. A little more spice. But it was pretty good,
Mongo
man. For
Q. Mongo Q. In the food court there at Fashion Valley.
For a food court Mongolian barbecue, it's pretty damn good. I was full the rest of the day.
By the way, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. As you're calling in, I'll just wrap up the story on Mongolian barbecue. So last week, we went out to lunch while we were doing some tournament planning, and Woods treated us to Jersey Mike sandwiches. We're going to have Jersey Mike's at the golf tournament tomorrow. So I said, I got this one. So I paid for our lunch yesterday. Happy to do so.
Finally.
But then Woods wants to tip the Mongolian barbecue chef. He's got a big jar there that's not filled with anything. And he goes to the cashier, do you have a change for a 20? And he goes, no, I don't have any change for a 20. We don't really deal much in cash anymore. It's 2024. And Woods doesn't know what to do. And I go, I've got a 10. So I hand it to him. And he
does not want to do that.
Puts it right into the jar as well. So he takes my 10 after I paid for lunch and uses it to tip the guy who looked very appreciative of Woods for leaving the nice big tip in the jar, which came straight out of my wallet. I would have generously tipped $2.
Oh, 100%.
But, of course, Woods goes with the 10 out of my wallet
the
tip.
Hey, man, that guy, he was solo. In there, he had those two sticks.
He was, yeah, he was working hard.
Bro, that grinding.
All I kept seeing was that smoke just going up into his face. So, I had a great time with you fellas. And, sorry, I'll give you your $10 back. That guy earned it, man. He earned it.
You are a good tipper, I will say that. Woods is, if you are in the service industry, you'd be excited when Woods is coming. Be less excited when Ben is coming. Just unless Woods is with him and is reaching into Ben's wallet,
Jason,
to tip other people.
You guys just had a Seinfeld episode at lunch. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
All right, let's play some Take On. By the way, 2-game losing streak right now. It's time for you to step up here, or changes will need to be made.
Get back to 500.
Let's play
this
a little
week.
Take On Woods.
It's time for Take On Woods.
Woods. Woods.
Wow, I see a lot of names here. Let's go with line 4. Who's this?
Hey, it's Brian.
Brian, are you calling for Take on Woods?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're our contestant. Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Great prize this month. If you can beat or tie Woods, and it's been done the last 2 days, you can qualify for our grand prize 2-night stay at Fontainebleau Las Vegas. Tickets to either Hootie and the Blowfish or Smashing Pumpkins, your choice, and a $150 poolside dining credit. Summer room packages and tickets are available now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. I'll even give you the choice of categories. Here's your advantage. It's not false. And that is, you'll figure that one out as you go. Not for Nothing. Those are song titles, including the word nothing. And Rick's Cafe. Those are musical artists named Rick. So It's Not False, Not for Nothing, or Rick's Cafe. Brian, what would you like?
Let's do not for nothing.
Not for nothing. All right. This one is actually another submission from Tier 1 Janice, who had a category for me a couple of weeks ago, and she came up with some of these. So good luck on Not For Nothing, five song titles that all include the word nothing. We will play 60 seconds. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it. First question's the two-second song. You need to identify the small clip of music by title and artist to score the point. Brian, are you ready to go?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. The category Not For Nothing. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Brian. Let's take on Woods.
That was Poison, nothing but a good time.
Correct. Sting makes a guest appearance singing the iconic I Want My MTV Open, to which 1985 Dire Straits hit.
Money for nothing.
Correct. Starship sings, Baby, We Can Make It If We're Heart to Heart, in which classic 1986 power ballad that was also the theme for the movie Mannequin.
Pass.
Which signature 1974 hit for Bachman Turner Overdrive features a famous stutter on the word baby?
Pass.
Metallica shows off a softer side in which 1992 single that originally was never intended to be released.
Nothing Else Matters.
Correct. Starship sings, Baby, We Can Make It If We're Heart to Heart, in which classic 1986 power ballad that was also the theme for the movie Mannequin.
Ah, man. Killed it. Pass.
Which signature 1974 hit for Bachman Turner Overdrive feature? Oh, and we ran out of time there. Baby, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, and then Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship. You did get the other three, though. Nothing But a Good Time by Poison, Money for Nothing, and Nothing Else Matters. So three is your score. Brian, you stay on the line. Hang on there. We'll see if the losing streak continues here for Woods, who doesn't get the category. Doesn't even get a target score, so we'll see how he does. 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Brian.
Nothing But a Good Time, Poison.
Correct. Sting makes a guest appearance singing the iconic I Want My MTV Open, to which 1985 Dire Straits hit.
Money for Nothing.
Correct. Starship sings, Baby, We Can Make It If We're Heart to Heart, in which classic 1986 power ballad that was
Nothing's Gonna Stop Us.
Correct.
Now.
Which signature 1974 hit for Bachman Turner Overdrive features a famous stutter on the word baby.
Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Correct. Metallica shows off a softer side.
Nothing
in which
Else Matters.
It's a 5-for-5, and the winning streak is back. The losing streak is over. 5-3. Brian, good game. Thank you for playing.
How do you do? What do you get?
3. Not bad, but not Woods-like today. You were back.
Found the fastball.
What happened?
Yeah, I found the fastball. Ruben and I were working on a couple things and just unlocked some potential.
And you just focused more, maybe? You wanted it more?
I did
you
want
hate
it,
losing
man.
Enough that you stopped losing? Is that all it took?
Yeah. I just decided to win today. I decided to win.
Maybe if Rory McIlroy just decided to win
to
more,
win a major,
it would help him out and end that tenure. He did finally respond.
Tough to do, though, when you don't play in your next tournament.
Yesterday, after storming out in an SUV at the end of the U.S. Open, if you missed it, I have what Rory had to say. And then Jesse Agler is going to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour with more Ben and Woods after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talked a little bit yesterday about Rory's meltdown at the U.S. Open and leaving without speaking to the media. I thought it was a missed opportunity for Rory to once again show that he's a classy guy and a decent human being who's had some trouble finishing off majors over the last decade. I mean, would you rather be the guy who has trouble finishing off the majors and ends up finishing second a bunch, or would you rather be the guy who's never in contention at all? I mean, you'd rather be in contention.
Yeah, for sure.
And by the way, and again, I'm not excusing Rory's missed putts. I'm not alibiing.
Right, you are. If you make an excuse right here, then you're alibiing.
Every golfer chokes. Every golfer.
Yeah.
It's a game of
choking.
Of every bad shot is essentially a choke.
100%.
Especially for a pro.
Yeah. especially for a pro of his caliber.
They're so good, you know, when they hit the shot right, they're on target, they're the right distance, they're knocking it close.
Isn't that nuts, too, because you think about it in other sports. And, I mean, those guys are so good. In other sports, if you, it'd be like saying you have to hit a hit on every fastball.
There's no defense.
You see.
There's no defense in golf. There's no pitcher trying to stop you.
No,
you can do everything right in baseball and still not get a hit.
100%.
But in golf, there's no defense.
Just put the same swing on it.
It's the golfer who chokes the least wins the tournament.
Exactly right.
Bryson choked. He three putted late. Didn't make it.
Could not hit a fairway
He didn't choke on the last shot when he needed it. Rory did. And that decided the U.S. Open. So every golfer chokes. It's just a matter of trying to do it a little bit less than the next guy. And this one was a particularly ugly one for Rory McIlroy. But he did. He did, after things settled a day later, posted on his social media feeds, Instagram and the like, congratulations to Bryson DeChambeau. He called him a very worthy champion and very good for the game of golf, which is big, knowing, you know, Rory has been the face of the PGA Tour versus LIV. Bryson very much has kind of been the face of LIV. It was a classy thing to say that Bryson both is a worthy champion and good for the game of golf. He did call it probably the toughest day he's had in his 17 years as a pro. Doesn't surprise me. He's had some tough ones, but missing two short putts that he makes between 80 and 100% of the time to lose the U.S. Open by one is agonizing. I would venture that, Woods, I put you, even in the U.S. Open pressure, and gave you 2 3-foot putts, you probably make one of them. You don't make zero. It's a 3-foot putt. You probably make one of them.
When I'm watching,
they're even a 50-50 proposition for an amateur golfer. It was a bad two misses by Rory. Bad.
When I'm watching the final rounds, I love the final round. I usually catch a little bit of the first round, and then I usually catch the final round. I always miss moving day. I forget it. I'm watching baseball.
Saturdays are busy.
They are. And I rarely miss the last 5 or 6 holes of any golf tournament on a Sunday. Rarely. I just love them. You know, I love the when they win and the kids come out. It's my favorite bit. And the wife runs, oh, my God, you did it. It's the best. They tell the story of my dad. And I love it. When I'm watching that, I just try to put myself even a million percent in their shoes at that point, what they're going through. All those people watching, how do they hit those drives that are, the fairway is 20 yards wide, and there are people lying the whole way. It just, every time I look at it,
I would kill somebody.
I would murder somebody. It would be the guy that is 14 feet to my right.
Yep.
That I would hit a ball 100 miles an hour right into his dome. And I watch it and I go, how do they make one shot? How do they hit one shot? How do they make one? It is, I have so much respect for them. And I do, I can totally understand why he missed both of those putts. I totally can. The pressure is enormous, man.
Oh, I understand it. I perfectly understand it. But his job as a professional is to control the things that make the rest of us miss those putts. For instance, the first one, the really short one, between a heartbeat, he jabbed at it. He was trying to, like I said, maybe just force it into the hole.
But what a fool believes.
Good timing, Carl.
Great timing.
833-288-0973, if you know why we just played that. And then the second one, I think he overcorrected and he goes, I'm not going to make that mistake.
Not going to do that again.
And he babied it, and it took too much of the break. But it's his job as a top professional to control those emotions, control those nerves, and just put the same stroke on it that makes him make 496 of those in a row. And make the 497th one in a row. That's what that's about. So Rory said he's going to take the next 3 weeks off. He's skipping the elevated event, the Travelers this week. He'll be back at the Scottish Open to defend his title. And then it's the Open Championship. One last chance to end the major drought this year. I will point out that Rory's other major choke, the 2011 Masters, when he had that big lead going into the back nine on Sunday and ended up losing it, he went on and won the U.S. Open by 8 shots in his next major after that. So maybe this is just finally knocking on the door and Rory gets it in a couple of months, or maybe it haunts him and maybe it takes an emotional toll. We'll find out, but I'll definitely be watching. Very curious about how Rory McIlroy moves on after Sunday's
as will I
loss to Bryson DeChambeau. All right, we'll come back. Jesse Agler will join us. It is National Jesse Day.
Yeah,
so
look
we will
it up.
Celebrate Jesse
thing.
Agler.
Yeah, it's a real
thing.
It's
his big day. And he's coming up next on 97.3 The Fan from Philadelphia. So our 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair now through July 7th. The magic of the Midway, live concerts, and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online and learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. We're going to head out to the City of Brotherly Love. In just a moment.
I don't feel very loved
not by
when
them,
we play them.
Not by them at all. Schwarber, Bohm, Harper. They all own the Padres.
Literally. Just, whew.
Jesse Agler's going to join us right after this. Check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Hit it, Paulie. Jesse Agler, it is your special day.
Your fun
it
day.
It is great to have you on. It is your fun day. Congratulations to you.
Does he have any idea yet?
Very happy. Do you know what we're talking about?
No idea whatsoever.
Today is National Jesse Day.
National Jesse Day.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. Dude, yes.
I think it's even spelled correctly.
Yeah, J-E-S-S-E. This day was created to honor and appreciate those who bear this popular name. And
feels like we shouldn't have a day, I got to tell you.
You feel like you shouldn't have a day. Why?
No, I don't think so. It's because everybody, every human is special, okay?
That's true.
You know, no matter what your name is, no matter where you're from, you know, we should all be trying to celebrate ourselves and our loved ones every single day. But thank you for recognizing it. I appreciate that.
Did you get? I want to ask you this question about your name, Jesse, because there's a kid on my T-ball team who I adore. His name's Jesse, and there's a thing with Jesses. I haven't known a lot of Jesses in my time. Did you like your name when you were a kid?
I was always like kind of the only Jesse.
Yes.
So I didn't, it was a little bit, you know, either good or bad, depending on like the year or the day, how I felt about that. But the weird one to me was just always like, not weird, but like the annoying one when I was little was, you know, teachers were always spelling it wrong or, you know, like it was always like everybody was throwing the I in there. And you know, like now as an adult, I don't care when people do that, but like as like a third grader, that used to bother me a little bit. Like, that's not how you spell my name, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But No, I never really, you know, thought too much of it one way or the other. I like it. It's mine. And this is the weirdest question I've ever had to answer.
That's fine. It also has its own day.
Can't we talk about eight straight road losses?
Yeah, finally.
Finally.
That's what everyone wants to hear about. Eight straight road losses. You know, from the team that continually makes perfect sense, Jesse, the one that was one of the best road teams in baseball and now can't win a road game. It kind of goes back even to the last season as well. Not a lot adds up necessarily for the San Diego Padres. They lead the National League the baseball in batting average, but the offense seems to struggle a lot. They give up very few walks and strike out tons of batters, but the pitchers give up a lot of home runs. It's a very difficult team to analyze, Jesse, and you have to kind of watch it every single day.
How much of a challenge, Ben, was it for you right there in that setup? To not use the words run differential.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, the run differential is pretty much where it should be at this point. They're a little positive for under 500. It's not like last year, which was ridiculously off for where it should have been. That's when run differential becomes important to me. Like, it's all right, it's not telling the right story. This year's team is telling the right story. We just don't know why they're not necessarily, you know, performing at a better level.
I think, well, first of all, with the road stuff, they got off to the, 19-10 in their first 29 on the road. And, you know, I think a lot of people were shooting off fireworks around town because, wow, that's the sign of a great team. Yeah. I don't know that was ever sustainable. So you're probably seeing a little bit of a correction there. But I guess, look, for me right now, when I look at where they are and the way things are going, this is a very, very tough stretch for a lot of reasons. You know, for one, obviously, and this is where it starts, is the 26 games in 27 days. Then you throw on top of that, you're missing two of your top starting pitchers. And you throw on top of that, you got guys dinged up pretty good right now. You know, Machado and Arise, even Jerkson with the knee the other day. And it's just sort of this kind of like perfect storm, you know, to make this a little bit of a difficult run right here. And it's a run schedule-wise that really continues through the next homestand. Remember, they're going to come home Thursday after, you know, this East Coast trip. They're going to have a game Thursday night at home against the Brewers. That's a four-game series. Then the Nats come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then finally, you know, the schedule, just from like a calendar standpoint eases up a little bit, and the month of July should be a lot more friendly to them from that standpoint, you know, than the month of June was. But look, I'm not saying you can't have a successful run when you're playing 26 games in 27 days, but if you're dinged up the way they are, it becomes that much more difficult. And that's just kind of my, like, sort of sense of the state of things at this moment. But as we know, it changes 1,000 times over the course of the year. The story of April is not necessarily the story of May and so on. And, you know, we'll see what the next month brings. Not that I'm punting on the rest of June by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think it's been a particularly challenging few weeks here.
Yeah, no question. Talking to our pal Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And you're with Mike Schilt a lot. You know, you're down in the scrums and listening to him. And we, of course, talk to him on Fridays. And, you know, you see the pressers after the game. He's relentlessly positive is how I put it. And I kind of understand why. I do. I watched last night, though, and it, you know, what is kind of your take on being positive all the time as the manager of a big league club?
This is not specific to Mike, okay? So what I'm saying are kind of my general thoughts on this topic. The manager of the team is not trying to manage public opinion. He is not trying to manage the fan base. He is not trying to manage the media. He is trying to manage the guys in the clubhouse. That is his primary responsibility. And I'm not saying he doesn't have an obligation of some kind to the fans or the media. That is part of the gig. They all understand that. But at the end of the day, especially on a team that has had kind of the issues that this team has had the last couple of years, he's trying to keep every one of those guys in the clubhouse on board. And here's the thing to remember. Just because somebody says something on the record publicly, those are not the extent of this guy's thoughts, feelings, and words. Those are just the ones he's giving out. And again, Mike or anybody else, these are just the things he's saying publicly. They are not the only things he's saying. And what goes on behind closed doors, and again, I'm talking generally here, not about, you know, the 2024 Padres, can be very, very different than what is said publicly. And I think that's something everybody needs to be aware of. This idea that, like, a public figure, a politician, a manager, whatever they say in front of a microphone is all that they're saying, it's all that they're thinking, that is wildly naive. And I think that's something to be kept in mind when you're playing the audio back every morning of what Mike Schilt said after the game, or if somebody's listening to the post-game show with Sam Levitt here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan, and they're hearing Mike Schilt, and they're going, what is he talking about? That's not what I'm seeing. Believe me, for Mike and every other manager. Now, look, different guys with different personalities, different approaches, but for this team this year, I think it's pretty clear, right? Mike Schilt has made a calculated choice that he is not going to be throwing guys under the bus publicly. He doesn't think that does him any good. His job, again, his responsibility is to get these guys in the clubhouse to perform at their greatest level. And again, I haven't talked to him about this. To me, this is just sort of like optics 101, kind of looking at how all of it's gone, taking into account what we've seen and heard the last couple of years. It would appear to me he has made a decision that, you know, that's not the way he's going to handle it publicly. But again, you have to remember, just because he's doing one thing publicly doesn't mean he isn't permitted to do something else, you know, behind closed doors.
Jesse, let's talk about the opponent for a second. And I get the Phillies aren't infallible. They, you know, they ran into the Diamondbacks in the playoffs last year, the World Series the year before, and they had just lost 5 of 7. Yet, you watch them on the field, and I don't know about you, do they look like the most complete team that you've seen so far this year, now getting a second look at them?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that in April, and I think that, again, now. I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt that, you know, they're 4-0 against the Padres and that they've mashed, you know, in every single one of those games. But yeah, you know, that was my takeaway at the end of April when we saw them in San Diego. That was my takeaway walking away last night, is that, you know, they do look, I think complete is the right word. They look like the most, you know, top to bottom team, certainly that we've seen this year. You know, I don't know if I can speak to the American League teams quite as much. You know, I would have wanted a little bit longer of a look at the Yankees to kind of get a sense of them, you know, particularly from the pitching side. But yeah, no, I think the Phillies are the class of the National League. And does that mean anything in October? I don't know. You know, I mean, like you said, they had a 2-0 lead against the Diamondbacks in the NLCS last year and weren't able to close it out with a lot of these same guys playing really, really well. 2 years ago, of course, they beat the Padres to win the pennant and then lost in the World Series. So, you know, the way this whole system is set up now, it does not necessarily reward greatness, but they sure look great. They really do.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, they're a team you just don't – You don't. They don't feel like they're ever out of it. And I had that feeling about this team, Jesse. And you know, Skip said last night, you know, it was the only game that got away. And you know, pretty much, he said there's like four games that the Padres have been bodied and we're kind of out of it. Which is, I mean, that's fine. At the end of the day, they have this. Now, let's be fair. You would have squared up some of those pitches last night from Randy Vasquez. I mean, those were 92 center cut. I take my chances with Jesse Agler in the box last night. Just not super competitive from Vasquez last night. And I understand he's still learning and everything, but you can't do that against a lineup that is that deep, top to bottom, that just punishes mistakes.
I mean, what was the line Schilt used last night? It was great. If growing pains are painful. You know, they're called growing pains for a reason. And you know, this is a guy, his first trip really around, you know, not as a full-time starter, I know he's, but, you know, he's getting to sort of live the life of a full-time starter for right now in the rotation. And, that's part of the deal. Very few guys get it right their first time through. Not to say there aren't going to be really good ones. We've seen him have some really good ones. But there are going to be difficult times. There are going to be difficult games. Certain matchups are going to present, you know, really particular difficulties, and that was the case last night. You know, anytime guys are learning on the fly at the major league level and kind of going through it for the first time, generally stuff like this is going to happen. And that's what makes what Jackson Merrill has done this year so incredibly impressive to me, is that there's just, it seems to me there's not been a single at bat all year long where the guy seemed overmatched by the moment. And that is so rare and something we should not take for granted. You know, we saw with Fernando as a rookie. Not only did he not look overmatched, he looked like he was overmatching the opposition, you know, on a near nightly basis. His first time through, those guys are freaks, man. That's not the way it usually happens. That's not the way it's supposed to go. And we should always kind of, I think, take a step back and appreciate when something like that is happening.
No doubt.
So, Jesse, I feel like I may owe you an apology. I may have gotten too aggressive
last week on the incorporator.
So I'm sorry if I got in your head or anything.
He ruined it.
I'm going to try to make it up for you this week. Are you still game for the incorporator?
Of course. Okay. Of course. I actually feel terrible about last week.
Don't feel terrible. I feel terrible.
Ben should feel terrible.
No.
And so what I want to do is I want to go back to our roots. And our very first incorporator word was a food word.
Yeah, mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
So we're going back to our roots with a food word.
Mustard.
For tonight's, no, it's not exactly a condiment.
Relish.
It's a little tough.
Relish.
It's a little tougher than that. Paulie, if you would, please.
Cracker Jack.
Congee.
What is that?
Congee. It's a form of savory rice porridge that you get by boiling rice in a large amount of water until the rice softens. Ooh. It's often served Asia, you know, like China, is the breakfast food.
It's
with
a bowl
condiments.
Of rice.
It's a bowl of very wet, mushy rice. Congee.
So good. Congee.
I like that.
All right. Wet.
I like how that was not presented when we were in Seoul, Korea a couple of months
right.
ago. We saved it for Philadelphia. Yeah,
too
good.
Easy.
Going down to Pat and Gino's to get a nice congee in Philadelphia.
How is Philly, by the way?
With some congee on it. It's very hot.
Is it?
Very, very hot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like 90-something.
Staying in your room?
But, I'm about to work out. We'll get that in.
All right, show off. I did yoga this morning for 7 minutes, by the way.
Did
7 minute
good for
yoga.
You.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's called Lazy Yoga, and it's like an app. And so I did it the last
Feels
2 days.
Feels like a contradiction.
It does, doesn't it? It sucks. And you watch the lady do it on the thing, and then you look at yourself in the mirror doing it. It's not even close. It's not even close.
Got all those
poses.
There's downward dog.
Yeah, mountain. I do all
I like I beached all. Whale.
Yeah.
That's my
pose.
Me
and
pose.
You both. I like cheesesteak. That's my favorite yoga pose. Enjoy your workout, buddy. Thank you. Sorry about Ben. And let's get that dub tonight.
Real quick, while we got Jesse. Oh. Do you remember, Jesse, that first incorporator is mayonnaise? Do you remember how it went? How it was executed?
With Uncle Teddy.
So you got your crab meat, your lump crab meat, your mayonnaise, your breadcrumbs, your spices and herbs, all that goes into it. But sometimes too many breadcrumbs, too much filler, not as good.
Thank you, Bobby Flay.
Yes. Well, you know, a little bit of a foodie, a little bit of a food snob.
I'm a little bit of an eater.
A little bit of an eater. Lays me out.
Oh, God bless Teddy, man. That's the best.
Amazing. Those two during the incorporator was pretty epic. Yeah. We had some epic times.
I pulled my diphthong in college.
Yeah, I pulled my diphthong in college.
Safe trip back to San Diego this week,
Thank
Jesse.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Later.
Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, the incorporator. Listen for congee this afternoon. Another 3:40 start from Citizens Bank Park with a Sammy Levitt, EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show at 2:40. again this afternoon in a hot and sticky Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's any plans to go visit the Liberty Bell today for Jesse.
I heard Tony Gwynn Jr. did go get a cheesesteak, though.
Oh, did he?
Yesterday. Ooh, and he did not get one last year. Tony tries to eat pretty healthy on the road, but he said, I was hungry, it was close, I went for it, it was fantastic, and now I'm feeling very bad about myself.
It's one of those foods that you love, and the minute you're done, you're like,
I didn't need that.
You're like, I am the worst. It's like, I mean, you're like, I'm a huge load, and I love them. Oh, I love a cheesesteak. I really do.
It's just fat and carbs all together.
Yeah. Delicious.
There's nothing redeeming.
Nothing.
Maybe.
No. Don't say protein.
The peppers.
No. The peppers. No. 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 There's nothing redeeming.
There's really nothing redeeming about a cheesesteak. Pure pleasure.
I'll eat a chicken cheesesteak, too. Those are delicious.
A little leaner.
Steak's good. What does it need? Cheese. Melted cheese.
And a loaf of bread.
Giant loaf of bread.
100%. Oh,
so we'll come back. Ryan will report. Final hour of Ben and Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair now through July 7th. The magic of the Midway, live concerts, and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online and learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. We're going to head out to the City of Brotherly Love in just a moment.
I don't feel very loved
not by
when
them,
we play them.
Not by them at all. Schwarber, Bohm, Harper. They all own the Padres.
Literally. Just. Whew.
Jesse Agler's going to join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Hit it, Paulie. Jesse Agler, it is your special day.
Your fun
it
day.
It is great to have you on. It is your fun day. Congratulations to you.
Does he have any idea yet?
Very happy. Do you know what we're talking about?
No idea whatsoever.
Today is National Jesse Day.
National Jesse Day.
Is it really?
Yes, it is, dude. Yes.
I think it's even spelled correctly.
Yeah, June 18th,
J-E-S-S-E.
This day was created to honor and appreciate those who bear this popular name. And
feels like we shouldn't have a day, I got to tell you.
You feel like you shouldn't have a day. Why?
No, I don't think so. It's because everybody, every human is special, okay?
That's true.
You know, no matter what your name is, no matter where you're from, you know, we should all be trying to celebrate ourselves and our loved ones every single day. But thank you for recognizing it. I appreciate that.
Did you get? I want to ask you this question about your name, Jesse, because there's a kid on my T-ball team who I adore. His name's Jesse, and there's a thing with Jessies. I haven't known a lot of Jessies in my time. Did you like your name when you were a kid?
I was always like kind of the only Jesse.
Yes.
So I didn't. It was a little bit, you know, either good or bad, depending on like the year or the day, how I felt about that. But the weird one to me was just always like, not weird, but like the annoying one when I was little was, you know, teachers were always spelling it wrong, or you know, like it was always like everybody was throwing the I in there. And you know, like now as an adult, I don't care when people do that. But like as like a third grader, that used to bother me a little bit. Like that's not how you spell my name, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, I never really, you know, thought too much of it one way or the other. I like it. It's mine. And this is the weirdest question I've ever had to answer.
That's fine. It also has its own day.
Can't we talk about 8 straight road losses?
Yeah, finally.
Finally.
That's what everyone wants to hear about. 8 straight road losses. You know, from the team that continually makes perfect sense, Jesse, the one that was one of the best road teams in baseball and now can't win a road game. It kind of goes back even to the last season as well. Not a lot adds up necessarily for the San Diego Padres. They lead the National League in batting average, but the offense seems to struggle a lot. They give up very few walks and strike out tons of batters, but the pitchers give up a lot of home runs. It's a very difficult team to analyze, Jesse, and you have to kind of watch it every single day.
How much of a challenge, Ben, was it for you right there in that setup to not use the words run differential?
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, the run differential is pretty much where it should be at this point. They're a little positive for under 500. It's not like last year, which was ridiculously off for where it should have been. That's when run differential becomes important to me. Like, it's all right, it's not telling the right story. This year's team is telling the right story. We just don't know why they're not necessarily, you know, performing at a better level.
I think, well, first of all, with the road stuff, they got off to the, 19-10 in their first 29 on the road.
And, you know, I think a lot of people were shooting off fireworks around town because, wow, that's the sign of a great team.
Yeah.
I don't know that that was ever sustainable. So you're probably seeing a little bit of a correction there. But I guess, look, for me right now, when I look at where they are and the way things are going, this is a very, very tough stretch for a lot of reasons. You know, for one, obviously, and this is where it starts, is the 26 games in 27 days. Then you throw on top of that, you're missing two of your top starting pitchers. And you throw on top of that, you got guys dinged up pretty good right now. You know, Machado and Arraez, even Jerkson with the knee the other day. And it's just sort of this kind of like perfect storm, you know, to make this a little bit of a difficult run right here. And it's a run schedule-wise that really continues through the next homestand. Remember, they're going to come home Thursday after, you know, this East Coast trip. They're going to have a game Thursday night at home against the Brewers. That's a four-game series. Then the Nats come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then finally, you know, the schedule just from like a calendar standpoint eases up a little bit, and the month of July should be a lot more friendly to them from that standpoint, you know, than the month of June was. But look, I'm not saying you can't have a successful run when you're playing 26 games in 27 days, but if you're dinged up the way they are, it becomes that much more difficult. And that's just kind of my like sort of sense of the state of things at this moment. But as we know, it changes a thousand times over the course of the year. The story of April is not necessarily the story of May, and so on. And, you know, we'll see what the next month brings. Not that I'm punting on the rest of June by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think it's been a particularly challenging few weeks here.
Yeah, no question. Talking to our pal Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And you're with Mike Schilt a lot. You know, you're down in the scrums and listening to him. And we, of course, talk to him on Fridays. And, you know, you see the pressers after the game. He's relentlessly positive is how I put it. And I kind of understand why. I do. I watched last night, though, and it... You know, what is kind of your take on being positive all the time as the manager of a big league club?
This is not specific to Mike. Okay, so what I'm saying are kind of my general thoughts on this topic. The manager of the team is not trying to manage public opinion. He is not trying to manage the fan base. He is not trying to manage the media. He is trying to manage the guys in the clubhouse. That is his primary responsibility. And I'm not saying he doesn't have an obligation of some kind to the fans of the media. That is part of the gig. They all understand that. But at the end of the day, especially on a team that has had kind of the issues that this team has had the last couple of years, he's trying to keep every one of those guys in the clubhouse on board. And here's the thing to remember. Just because somebody says something on the record publicly, those are not the extent of this guy's thoughts, feelings, and words. Those are just the ones he's giving out. And again, Mike or anybody else, these are just the things he's saying publicly. They are not the only things he's saying. And what goes on behind closed doors, and again, I'm talking generally here, not about, you know, the 2024 Padres, can be very, very different than what is said publicly. And I think that's something everybody needs to be aware of. This idea that like a public figure, a politician, a manager, whatever they say in front of a microphone is all that they're saying. It's all that they're thinking. That is wildly naive. And I think that's something to be kept in mind when you're playing the audio back every morning of what Mike Schilt said after the game, or if somebody's listening to the post-game show with Sam Levitt here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan, and they're hearing Mike Schilt, and they're going, what is he talking about? That's not what I'm seeing. Believe me, for Mike and every other manager. Now, look, different guys have different personalities, different approaches, but for this team this year, I think it's pretty clear, right? Mike Schilt has made a calculated choice that he is not going to be throwing guys under the bus publicly. He doesn't think that does him any good. His job, again, his responsibility is to get these guys in the clubhouse to perform at their greatest level. And again, I haven't talked to him about this. To me, this is just sort of like optics 101, kind of looking at how all of it's gone, taking into account what we've seen and heard the last couple of years. It would appear to me he has made a decision that, you know, that's not the way he's going to handle it publicly. But again, you have to remember, just because he's doing one thing publicly doesn't mean he isn't permitted to do something else, you know, behind closed doors.
Jesse, let's talk about the opponent for a second. And I get the Phillies aren't infallible. They, you know, they ran into the Diamondbacks in the playoffs last year, the World Series the year before, and they had just lost 5 of 7. Yet, you watch them on the field, and I don't know about you, do they look like the most complete team that you've seen so far this year, now getting a second look at them?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that in April, and I think that, again, now. I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt that, you know, they're 4-0 against the Padres and that they've mashed, you know, in every single one of those games. But, yeah, you know, that was my takeaway at the end of April when we saw them in San Diego. That was my takeaway walking away last night, is that, you know, they do look, I think complete is the right word. They look like the most, you know, top to bottom team, certainly that we've seen this year. You know, I don't know if I can speak to the American League teams quite as much. You know, I would have wanted a little bit longer of a look at the Yankees to kind of get a sense of them, you know, particularly from the pitching side. But yeah, no, I think the Phillies are the class of the National League. And does that mean anything in October? I don't know. You know, I mean, like you said, they had a 2-0 lead against the Diamondbacks in the NLCS last year and weren't able to close it out with a lot of these same guys playing really, really well. 2 years ago, of course, they beat the Padres to win the pennant and then lost in the World Series. So, you know, the way this whole system is set up now, it does not necessarily reward greatness, but they sure look great. They really do.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, they're a team you just don't. They don't feel like they're ever out of it. And I had that feeling about this team, Jesse. And you know, Skip said last night, you know, it was the only game that got away. And, you know, pretty much he said, there's like four games that the Padres have been bodied and we're kind of out of it, which is, I mean, that's fine at the end of the day. They have this. Now, let's be fair. You would have squared up some of those pitches last night from Randy Vasquez. I mean, those were 92 center cut. I take my chances with Jesse Agler in the box last night. Just not super competitive from Vasquez last night. And I understand he's still learning and everything, but you can't do that against a lineup that is that deep, top to bottom, that just punishes mistakes.
I mean, what was the line Schilt used last night? It was great. If growing pains are painful. You know, they're called growing pains for a reason. And you know, this is a guy, his first trip really around, you know, not as a full-time starter, I know, but, you know, he's getting to sort of live the life of a full-time starter for right now in the rotation. And, yeah, man, that's part of the deal. Very few guys get it right their first time through. Not to say there aren't going to be really good ones. We've seen him have some really good ones. But there are going to be difficult times. There are going to be difficult games. Certain matchups are going to present, you know, really particular difficulties, and that was the case last night. You know, anytime guys are learning on the fly at the major league level and kind of going through it for the first time, generally stuff like this is going to happen. And that's what makes what Jackson Merrill has done this year so incredibly impressive to me, is that there's just, it seems to me there's not been a single at bat all year long where the guy seemed overmatched by the moment. And that is so rare and something we should not take for granted. You know, we saw with Fernando as a rookie, not only did he not look overmatched, he looked like he was overmatching the opposition, you know, on a near nightly basis his first time through. Those guys are freaks, man. That's not the way it usually happens. That's not the way it's supposed to go. And we should always kind of, I think, take a step back and appreciate when something like that is happening.
No doubt.
So, Jesse, I feel like I may owe you an apology. I may have gotten too aggressive
last week on the incorporator.
So I'm sorry if I got in your head or anything.
Oh, he ruined it.
I'm going to try to make it up for you this week. Are you still game for the incorporator?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. I actually feel terrible about last week.
Don't feel terrible. I feel terrible.
Ben should feel terrible.
No.
And so what I want to do is I want to go back to our roots. And our very first incorporator word was a food word.
Yeah, mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
So we're going back to our roots with a food word.
Mustard.
For tonight's, no, it's not exactly a condiment.
Relish.
It's a little tough.
Relish.
It's a little tougher than that. Paulie, if you would, please.
Cracker Jack.
Congee.
Congee?
Congee.
What is that?
Congee. It's a form of savory rice porridge that you get by boiling rice in a large amount of water until the rice softens.
Ooh.
It's often served Asia, you know, like China is the breakfast food.
It's
with
a bowl
like
of rice.
It's a bowl of very wet, mushy rice. Congee.
So good. Congee.
Congee.
I like that.
All right. Wet.
I like how that was not presented when we were in Seoul, Korea a couple of months ago. We saved it for Philadelphia. Yeah,
too
good.
Easy.
Going down to Pat and Gino's to get a nice congee in Philadelphia.
How is Philly, by the way?
With some congee on it. It's very hot.
Is it?
Very, very hot.
Yeah,
today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like 90-something.
Staying
yeah.
in your room?
But, I'm about to work out. We'll get that in.
All right, show off. I get it. I did yoga this morning for 7 minutes, by the way.
Did
7 minute
good for
yoga.
You.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's called Lazy Yoga, and it's like an app. And so I did it the last 2 days.
It feels like a contradiction.
It does, doesn't it? It sucks. And you watch the lady do it on the thing, and then you look at yourself in the mirror doing it. It's not even close. It's not even close.
Got all those poses. There's downward dog.
Yeah, mountain. I do all
I like beached whale.
Yeah.
That's my
pose. Me and
pose.
You both. I like cheesesteak. That's my favorite yoga pose. Enjoy your workout, buddy. Thank you. Sorry about Ben. And let's get that dub tonight.
Real quick, while we got Jesse. Oh. Do you remember, Jesse, that first incorporator is mayonnaise? Do you remember how it went? How it was executed?
With Uncle Teddy.
So you got your crab meat, your lump crab meat, your mayonnaise, your breadcrumbs, your spices and herbs, all that that goes into it. But sometimes too many breadcrumbs, too much filler, not as good.
Thank you, Bobby Flay.
Yes. Well, you know, a little bit of a foodie, a little bit of a food snob.
I'm a little bit of an eater.
A little bit of an eater. Lace me out.
Oh, God bless Teddy, man. That's the best.
Amazing. Those two during the Incorporator was pretty epic. We had some epic times.
I pulled my diphthong in college.
Yeah, I pulled my diphthong in college.
Safe trip back to San Diego this week,
Thank
Jesse.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Later.
Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, the Incorporator. Listen for Kanji this afternoon. Another 3:40 start from Citizens Bank Park with a Sammy Levitt, EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show at 2:40. Again this afternoon in a hot and sticky Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's any plans to go visit the Liberty Bell today for Jesse.
I heard Tony Gwynn Jr. did go get a cheesesteak, though.
Oh, did he?
Yesterday. Ooh, and he did not get one last year. Tony tries to eat pretty healthy on the road, but he said, I was hungry, it was close, I went for it, it was fantastic, and now I'm feeling very bad about myself.
It's one of those foods that you love, and the minute you're done, you're like,
I didn't need that.
You're like, I am the worst. It's like, I mean, you're like, I'm a huge load, and I love them. Oh, I love a cheesesteak. I really do.
It's just fat and carbs all together.
Yeah. Delicious.
There's nothing redeeming.
Nothing.
Maybe.
No. Don't say protein.
The peppers.
No. The peppers. No. There's nothing redeeming.
Really. Nothing redeeming about a cheesesteak. Pure pleasure.
I'll eat a chicken cheesesteak, too. Those are delicious.
A little leaner.
Steak's good. What does it need? Melted cheese and a loaf of bread.
A giant loaf of bread.
100%. Oh,
so right, we'll come back. Ryan will report. Final hour of Ben and Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.